We're quickly running through the beginning of Melachim again because we've done it already, so hold on to your seatbelts. David is old and he cannot maintain his body heat, either because he disgraced clothing during his lifetime, that he tore King Saul's clothing, and he who doesn't honor clothing in his lifetime will not benefit from clothing as he gets old, or because when the angel was coming and having the plague throughout Israel, he saw him over Jerusalem and that caused his blood to chill, so he cannot get hot. And his servants say, look, the one way we could get you hot, modern medicine of that century, is we have to get you a virgin to lie next to you, and that'll warm you up. So they seek out throughout the boundaries of Israel, and they find a young girl named Avishag from the city of Shunem, and they bring her, and she's very good looking, and David cannot marry her. He is up to his limit of wives. He may not marry one more wife unless he divorces another wife. Now he has a bunch of wives which he cannot live with because they were taken forcibly by Avshalom, his son. And he sustains them, and officially they're his wives. So theoretically he could divorce one of them and then he'll be permitted to marry Avishag. But even though they cannot live with him as husband and as wife, they have the honor of being known as King David's wives. And so David the Melech does not want to hurt them and divorce them. And so David does not divorce any of his wife and he does not marry Avishag Shunamit. Now he had a son named Adoniah ben Chagit, and Adoniah ben Chagit was the oldest son left alive, and he started telling everyone, I'm the next in line. Because David was in this state of he needed to constantly be with this girl sitting on his lap, so he wasn't comfortable being in public. So he leaves the public scene. And Adoniah takes advantage of the situation and he starts telling everyone, I'm the next king. And he starts taking on heirs. He has 50 people running in front of him. He has a chariot. He has horses. And his father, the Navi says, wasn't correct in the way he brought him up. Sometimes a father is responsible, says the Navi, to tell a child, why'd you do this? Part of rebuke is after a kid does something wrong and he cannot fix it, but to point out to him, to tell him, why did you do this? This was wrong. And this is called to be me'atzev the child, to sadden him. Because when you rebuke a child, he is not going to be happy. But part of the job of chinuch is to sadden him and tell him, why did you do this? You're wrong in doing this. And David the Melech never did that to this child. And that's why he had good looks and he allowed himself to follow his heirs, to follow his pride, and take this position of, I am going to be the next king. So he goes with the ex-general Yoav, who knows that he's about to be bumped, and the ex-Kohen Gadol Evyasar, who's already been bumped, and they both want to have it in with the next king, so he comes and tells them, come with me, we're establishing the king. And he makes a big feast, but he does not call the residing Kohen Gadol Tzadok, or the residing general Benayahu ben Yoyada, or the residing prophet Natan, or the great warriors of David, but he calls his other brothers, and he makes a big party, and the people of Yehuda, and he's rejoicing, and they're declaring him as king. Natan the prophet comes to Bathsheba, the young wife of David's, who David had promised that her son, her 12-year-old son Shlomo would be king, following him. And the prophet Natan had prophesied that Shlomo should receive the name Yedidiah and he would be king. And Natan comes to her and he tells her, have you heard that Adoniah, the son of Chagit, the other wife of David, Adoniah, her son, he's taken the throne and David doesn't know. Go tell David, because if not, you and your son are going to be in trouble when he dies. You go and start talking to him about how is it that Adoniah is king, and I'll come in and I'll fill the gaps. Bathsheba comes into the king's private room and he's very old and he's sitting there with Avishag and he's not very comfortable. He doesn't usually have people walk in on him like that. And Bathsheba comes and bows and David understands that something's afoot and he asks her, what's going on? How come his wife is suddenly bowing before him? And she tells him, my master, you promised me that my son Shlomo will be king after you and he will sit on your throne, and now Adoniah is king and I know you don't know. But Adoniah went and made this huge party. He sacrificed much cattle. He called all the princes, Evyasar, the former Kohen Gadol, Yoav, the chief general, Shlomo, your servant, he doesn't call. He doesn't call my son. He calls all the other brothers. He knows what's going on. And now, my master the king, you, everyone's looking at you to see who's going to be next on the throne. When you pass away, me and Shlomo are going to be lacking the throne. And God promised it to him. As she's in the middle of talking to David, Nathan the prophet comes in. They tell him, Nathan's here. Nathan comes before the king. Bathsheba walks out. He bows before the king, and Natan tells the king, did you say Adoniah should be king? He'll sit on your throne? I prophesied differently. Did God tell you other than my prophecy? Shouldn't you let me know? Today he went and made this huge party. He called all the princes and the generals and Evyasar. They're eating, they're feasting, and they're all declaring, long live the king Adoniah. He didn't invite me. He didn't invite the Kohen Gadol. He didn't invite Bnei Al Bnei Yoyada, and he didn't invite Shlomo. If you decided that it should be so, and you didn't bother telling me, fine, is that so? And David says, call Bathsheba back in. She comes in and stands before him, and David HaMelech shows that he is fully with it. He swears and says, I swear by Hashem who saved me from all danger. Just as I promised you by Hashem's name that Shlomo will be king after me and he will sit on my throne, today that will happen. Bathsheba bows and says, long live the king. She's just discussed what's going to be after he dies. So she immediately declares, we want you to live a long life. Now he's going to take his 12-year-old son and make him king. He calls out, bring before me the Kohen Gadol Tzadok, Nosan Anavi, Bnayal ben Yoyada, his generals. He tells them, take with you my servants and have Shlomo ride on my mule. When someone uses the king's vessels, that's a sign of kingship. Have him ride on my mule. Take him down to the river of Gihon. We anoint the king over a river to bless him, just as the river flows, so to his kingship, his dynasty should flow. And he will be anointed by the head Kohen Gadol Tzadok and Nosan Anavi as king, and blow the shofar and declare, long live the king Shlomo. Follow him, let him come and sit on my throne. Another sign of kingship. And he's king after me, and I've commanded he should be the ruler of Israel. Bnei ben Yoyada says to the king, amen. God should do it as you said. What does that mean, God should do as you said? They have 15-minute hike to the river. What does it mean, let it be as you said? From here we derive that never trust that things will work the way you plan. They're planning on taking this 15-minute hike to the river of Gihon, to the Shiloah, to anoint Shlomo. So he says, amen, may God make it work. You never know what's going to go wrong. Just as God was with our master the king, he should be with Shlomo, and his throne should be greater than your throne. And from here we derive that a healthy person is never jealous of his children. He always wants them to have more than he had. Tzadok and Nosan, and everyone goes down with Shlomo. They have Shlomo riding on the king's mule. They bring him down to the Shiloh, to Gihon. They anoint him, and they blow the shofar, and everyone's rejoicing. Long live the king Shlomo. They go up. He sits on the throne. And now Adoniah is with his party, and they hear the shofar blow, and they ask what's going on. Yonasan, the son of Evyasar, the former Kohen Gadol, comes. They tell him, oh, you're a good man, you'll give good news. He says, no, today I don't have good news. David anointed his son Shlomo as king, and they're all rejoicing. Shlomo sat on his throne. The servants all came to bless David. May Hashem bless the name of Shlomo. It should be greater than your name. His throne should be greater than your throne. And David bowed. And David said, blessed is Hashem that gave me a son sitting on my throne when I could still see it. Now he's just told everyone that's there that they're basically rebelling against the king. The king anointed Shlomo as king. They all run. Adoniah is scared. He runs to the altar and holds on to it. And Shlomo hears Adoniah is holding on to the altar. He's scared of you. And he said, may Shlomo should promise me that he won't kill me by sword. And Shlomo says, tell him that if he behaves himself, he won't get killed. And if he doesn't behave himself, if we find him guilty of something, he'll be dead. And then Shlomo says, take him off the mizbech. So they come, and they take him forcibly. Notice, he's a 12-year-old kid, but he's running the palace. He's running the country already. He's not asking him for favors. Adoniah wants to take advantage. He's an old man. Shlomo's little. He says, tell him, have him promise. Shlomo doesn't take counsel with David. Doesn't say he took counsel. That's what he did. David's about to die. He calls in Shlomo and he tells him, I'm going to die. I want you to be strong. Watch the mitzvahs of Hashem. Keep the Torah the way you should, and then you'll be successful. And Hashem will maintain his prophecy that if we keep the Torah, then the kingship will remain within our family. And you know Yoav ben Tzeruya, your cousin, that he murdered two generals of Israel, Avner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yeser, improperly. And figure out a way. He's a righteous person. He's a tzaddik. We don't want him to suffer in the world to come. Let him die an unnatural death so that he merits the world to come the way he should. There's a non-Jew named Barzillai who lives in Gilad, and he, if I'm not mistaken, he wasn't Jewish, says, help out his family because they helped me out when I was on the run. Shimi ben Gera, your Rebbe, the head of the Sanhedrin, he cursed me a bitter curse when I was running away, and then he caught me when I was in a political quandary. Everyone was around and looking, and I was in a position where I couldn't do anything, and he made me promise then that I wouldn't kill him. But you, my son Shlomo, you figure out how to take care of him so that he also does not end up in perdition. He shouldn't have to suffer in the world to come. David passes away, and Adoniah ben Haggit wants to seize the opportunity to take the throne. He comes to Bathsheba, Shlomo's mother, and he tells her, I need you to do me a favor. You remember Avishag HaShunamit? She wasn't really David's wife. She's a gorgeous girl. I want to marry her. And he figures once he does that, then he's one step closer to the throne. How did Shlomo begin his kingship? By using his father's mule. By using something that was specified for the king. This girl was set aside for the king. That's like using the father's scepter. So he asks her, let me just marry her. I want to marry her. She's an amazing girl. And Bathsheba says, fine, I'll help the shidduch. She comes to Shlomo and she says, please, I have one request. Don't refuse me. And he says, whatever you want, ma. And he sets a special throne for her next to his great-great-great-grandmother, Ruth. Yeah.
Wow.
Ruth lived a very long life.
How old is she?
I don't know.
200-something years, probably, no?
Something like that. So, she asks Shlomo, I have one small request. Please don't refuse. She says, ask my mother. I won't refuse you. She says, please let Avishag be given to Adoniah, your brother, as a wife. And Shlomo says, don't ask for Avishag, ask for the throne. He's my big brother. And this is a plot that's going on between him and Avyasar and Yoav. And I swear by today that when he asked this request, he asked for his life to be taken. And today he will die. And that's what he does. And we'll continue tomorrow. Next week.
Are you going to give me a shirt tomorrow?